Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Today is another good day. Today we're going to be Rhema reading Matthew's. We're going to start on chapter 4. I already did 1 Corinthians 15, 16 in my own private time. I pray you guys go back and read it and read it and read it and read it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm on live on my YouTube podcast page, Arthur Pearlie Martin, Biblical Principles for Inner Healing. Okay, guys, we're getting ready to Rhema read Matthew's chapter 4, NLT. Thank you, Lord. So here we go, here we go. Chapter 3 is about the baptism of Jesus Christ when John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ. You guys, if you come in, like, share. Father, we thank you for being in the midst of us, for being amongst us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you teach us, that you lead us, and that you guide us, and that everything is true, Father God. We just thank you for your Rhema word. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and our heart to receive your engrafted word, Father. You said if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. In Jesus' name, we thank you for filling our cup to overflowing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to find my YouTube live page while we're at it too. Okay, well, we're getting ready to jump in. Matthew's 4, New Living Translation Version. Where did you go? Let me find it again. A page close. 1 second, 1 minute, 1 moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You guys, all my books are online at Amazon. So feel free to subscribe to my podcast. Matthew's chapter 4. We're getting ready to Rhema read. Thank you, Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Matthew's 4 NLT is talking about the temptations of Christ. Again, Matthew 3 is talking about when Jesus, John the Baptist, baptized Jesus. So we're going to pick up on chapter 4. This is after he was baptized. Okay, you guys, please go back and read chapter 1. Chapter 1 is about the genealogy of Christ and the birth of Christ. And then, So you guys can catch up. I'm on Matthew 4. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Have you ever been tempted by the devil? Of course we have. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. This was after the water baptism and after his confirmation hearing. After the doves that came down upon him and a voice from heaven said, this is my son who am well pleased. He had this magnificent moment and then the test comes. You ever had that to happen? You had this magnificent moment. And then the test comes. Like Elijah would call fire down from heaven, and then the test comes. He had this real high moment, and then he's in the valley. That's how life is sometimes like that. Sometimes you might be on the mountaintop, sometimes you may be in the valley, but no matter where you are, just keep moving forward in the Lord. Whatever you're going through, just keep on going through till you get through, right? Keep moving forward. Keep going through until you get through. Okay? Don't get discouraged by the highs and the lows. Jesus is in the valley. He's everywhere at the same time. Right? Well, Rhema reading Matthew's 4. Please go back and on your own time and whatever, however the Lord leads you. We're talking about here that Jesus was in the wilderness. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted. God led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This is why Corinthians say there's no temptation, which is uncommon to man. We're with the same temptation. You know, God gives us a way of escape because Jesus had to be tempted. He had to overcome temptation so we would be able to overcome temptation. In other words, Jesus came to undo everything the devil came to do. It was for this purpose that the Son of God was manifest. To destroy the works of the devil, right? So good morning, Danisha. He says, for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread, right? He said, if you're the Son of God, we're Rhema reading Matthew's chapter 4, New Living Translation. We're on Matthew's 4 and 4. But Jesus told him, here's the devil's tempting him after he finished fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He said, but Jesus told him, no, the scripture says people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God, one translation says. Verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scripture says he will order his angels to protect you and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scripture also says, you must not test the Lord your God. You know, I like to tell people we're in a word war because it's a word for a word. The devil came with the word and Jesus, who is the word, came with the word, right? The word of God is the power of God unto salvation, right? The word of God is the power of God. And Jesus said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 8, he said, next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you would kneel down and worship me. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. You know, this is the same thing. There's no temptation which is common unto man. There's nothing new under the sun. In the same way the devil tempted Jesus with the lust of the flesh because he was hungry, with the lust of the eyes, he was trying to tempt him about the pride of life and in the lust of the eyes. Same temptation. There's nothing new under the sun. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that Jesus did not bow his knee to the devil. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So it says, the next day, the devil took him to a peak, a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And the devil's like, if you'll just bow down and worship me, if you'll sell your soul for this, if you'll sell your soul for that, I'll give you all the fame, the fortune, the glitter, the glitz. If you will just give up Christ, if you will just give up God for me, I'll give you all of this. If you will just announce the gospel for me, I'll give you all of this, right? The devil is still saying the same thing. He's trying to get us to compromise the word of the Lord. He wants us to lie, cheat, steal, and kill to get what we want so we can bow down. And when the truth of the matter is, the devil owns absolutely nothing. He takes what God has and he puts his own twist on it. But the devil is the author of confusion and he owns absolutely nothing. But here he is tempting the Son of God. He's trying to tempt him with the things of this world. He said, I'll give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. And that's what Satan wants. He don't want us to put our faith and trust in God. He doesn't want our faith and trust to be in God. He wants our faith and trust to be in the world system and not in the word system. It's kind of like, whose report do you believe? I don't know about you, but I say, I believe the report of the Lord. So Matthew 4:10, he says, get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scripture says, you see how Christ, every time the devil comes with the word, Jesus Christ, who is the word, comes with a word. This is why I say we are in a word war. This is what he say, fight the good fight of faith. Our fight is not with flesh and blood, men. He said, fight the good fight of faith. He said, well, the scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve him, serve only him. The devil's trying to get him to worship him. Jesus said, no, this is the word of the Lord. He said, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only, because I have no other gods before him. The Lord said, I am a jealous God and I have no other gods before me, right? Verse 11, then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. Verse 12, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judah and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the regions of Zubia and Zaphath. I can't pronounce these names. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who live in the land where death cast a shadow, a light has shone. Jesus is the light of the world, right? He is. We are, he said, I want you to be the light. Good morning, Brother Pastor Ali. I'm Raymond reading Matthew chapter 4, New Living Translation. He said, from then on, Jesus began to preach. He said, repent of your sins and turn to God. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And this is the word of the Lord. Repent and turn from your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. How many of you know that the kingdom of heaven is near? Verse 18, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fish for a living. Jesus called out to them. He said, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. How many know? He said, I'll make you fishermen of men. One translation say, I'll make you fishermen. I'll give you wisdom. I'll show you how. He that winneth souls is wise, right? And they left their nets at once and followed him. Listen, good morning, my beautiful sister Deborah. When we hear the Spirit of the Lord calling us, we sense the Holy Spirit drawing us. Let's not hesitate. He says, He left his nets at once and began to follow him. He didn't say, okay, wait, hold on, wait a minute, Jesus, you're taking me too fast now. First, I need to go back and I need to do this and I need to do that. No, he said he left his nets at once and followed him. How many of you know delayed obedience is disobedience? Delayed obedience is disobedience. When the Lord said, get up and go, we need to get up and move. Good morning, my beautiful sister Deborah. When Raymond reading Matthew 4:21, a little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their fathers behind. How many of you have heard the voice of the Lord calling you? I remember as a baby Christian that I was sitting on the couch. And I was reading the word because I had prayed and said, Lord, I just don't want to read the word. I want to understand the word. Help me to understand so I can be able to tell other people, so they too can experience what I'm experiencing. So I remember I was just sitting there in the living room on the couch and I was reading and I was home by myself. There was no kids. There was no husband. There was nothing. There was no one. There was no TV. There was nothing. There was no one. It was just me and the Lord. And I was just sitting there and I was just fasting in his presence. And I heard the voice really, really clear. I heard it. And he said, Pearly. And I got up. Kind of, you know, I was like, I know that's what happened to Samuel when the Lord called him three times, but he didn't recognize what was going on. He thought it was Elijah was calling him, but for real was the Lord calling him. Have you heard the voice of the Lord calling you? It might not be an audible voice, but it might be an inner voice. It might just be a conviction or a pull or sensing. But I heard his voice and I said, yes, Lord. I remember just being a baby Christian and I got up because I had a Damascus Street experience, and I got up and I ran to the hallway because that's where I heard the voice. But there was no one there. But I knew it was the voice of the Lord. I said, yes, Lord. Do you hear him calling you? What is it he's calling you to do? What is he asking you to do? What is it he's saying? Listen, I need you to follow me. I need you to follow me. I need you to do this thing that I'm asking you to do. Verse 23, Jesus traveled throughout the regions of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. For this purpose, you guys, was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the devil. I like to tell people, Jesus came to undo everything that the devil did. He redeemed us from the curse. He who knew no sin became sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 24, news about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who was sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or paralyzed. Thank you, Lord. He healed them all. He healed them all. Thank you, Lord. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea and from east of the Jordan river. The same power, the word of the Lord says, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is also able to quicken our mortal body. We have that same power living on the inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It lives on the inside of us. You know, the word of the Lord constantly tells us in Corinthians 6 that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We've been bought with a price, that we're not our own. Think about this. I want you to meditate on this, that the Spirit of the living God is on the inside of us. And the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living on the inside of us. We have the Spirit. Our body is a temple, no longer dwells in man-made temples made of hands, but the Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of you and me, if we're born again believers, right? Chapter 5, one day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them. Listen, I tell people, if you want to know how to forgive, you treat people opposite to how they treat you. So this is the Beatitudes, they call it. Verse 3 says, God blesses those, this is New Living Translation. It's that God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Being poor in spirit means, I don't know about you, but I'm poor in spirit because I'm needy for Jesus every single day of my life. He said, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Are you needy for Jesus? I know you're needy for Jesus, Deborah. I am needy for Jesus. I am needy, I am clingy, and I am chasing after him. And I don't know about you, but I need to know what it is he needs to know. He said, before the foundations of the world, he knew me. Verse 4, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice. Are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for justice? He said, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be satisfied. Verse 5 and 6, 7. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Make sure you give mercy and you're going to reap mercy. Make sure that you're merciful. Make sure you're loving, kind, and forgiving. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Make sure that our heart is right before God, that our motive is God, that God gets the glory for everything that we say and we do. And everything and in all things, let's remember to give God thanks and to give God praise. It says, God blesses those who work for peace. Blessed are the peacemaker, right? For they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who work for peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Verse 10, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Have you been persecuted for doing the right thing? I'm talking about for doing the right thing, not the wrong thing. Have you been persecuted for doing what was right? God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. He said, God blesses you. Remember, it says that when we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, the word of the Lord said we need to rejoice, because that means truly the Spirit of the Lord, the glory of the Lord is resting upon us. When we're being persecuted for doing the right thing, make sure it's the right thing and not the wrong thing. Verse 12, he said, be happy about it. He said, be happy about it when people say all evil things against you because you are my followers. He said, be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. This is nothing new. This is nothing new. What's happening to you has happened to Jesus too. It's happened to the prophets. It happened to the apostle. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay, what's going on now has already been done. The situation and circumstances may be a little different. We're no longer riding horses, we're driving cars, but I'm telling you, demons don't die. Those same demons that was here in Jesus' day is still here today in this day. If the devil hated Jesus Christ, the devil hates your guts too. Verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthlessness. We are the salt of the earth. People should see our lives and become so thirsty for God. You ever had someone say, I don't know, but it's just something about you. Something that's because they see the God in you. It's like, it's just something. It's just, I can't just quite put my finger on it, but it's just something. They used to tell me at the jail, they used to say, you're different. You're different. You're different, they would say. I knew what they were saying. But 14, he says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then put it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Let your light so shine. So people will see your good works and your Father in heaven will be glorified. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So God will get the glory. I'm good because of God. There's none good but the Father. But anything good about me that you see is because of my Father. Because I'm telling you, I have not forgot. I know who I am was before Christ. And I know who I am after Christ. And it's only because of Christ that I am who I am. Verse 17, it says, don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's laws will disappear until his purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teach them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them, you will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord. I'm almost finished. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the righteous law and the Pharisees, you will never inherit the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in the danger of the fire of hell. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar, if you're getting ready to give your offering at the altar in the temple, he says, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, and you remember somebody's upset with me, somebody's got something against, he said, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. He said, leave it there. Leave it there. He said, go and be reconciled to that person. Go make things right. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Because obedience is better than sacrifice, right? Obedience. Good morning, my brother. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Verse 25. Matthew 5:25, New Living Translation. He says, when you are on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. Try to settle your cases outside the courts as believers. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the last penny. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Verse 27, Matthew 5:27. He said, you have heard the commandments to say you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eyes, even your good eye, cause you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. Quit looking at it, in other words. If what you're looking at is causing you to sin, if what we're looking at is causing us to sin, stop looking at it. Turn it off. Stop doing it. Stop looking at it. Throw it out away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into the fire. And if your hand, even your strong hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Quit doing it. Quit doing it. Quit doing it. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. He's not literally physically. We know Thomas cut off our hand. In other words, just stop doing it. You have heard the law that says a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of the divorce. But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless he has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery. He's talking about under the law. You have also heard that our ancestors were told, this is talking about the law, He said, our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say, don't swear by heaven, by earth, by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything between this is from the evil one. You know, you don't have to swear to people. I put it on my mama. I swear to you. Don't say none of that. Don't go through all of that. Just say yes or no. You don't have to swear on anything. I swear to you, I'm telling you the truth. I swear I'm telling you the truth. You don't have to do none of that. Just say, let your yes be yes, let your no be no, because everything else is from the evil one. When you tell someone yes and you mean no, you're not going to feel happy about it, because God graces us to do what he asks us to do. So when we're men pleasers and we're just doing stuff because we think this person going to be mad at us if I don't do what they want or say what they, listen, it's not about the fear of man. It's not about the fear of man causes a snare. We need to do stuff because this is what the Spirit of the Lord is leading us to do. No is not a nasty word. It's okay to say no, right? We're called to be servant of Jesus Christ. And out of our relationship with him, he causes us to serve others. But our motive for our mission has got to be because this is what the Lord is telling me to do. You're not going to be able to manipulate me into saying yes by putting this pity party on me or trying to manipulate me. No, we must do it because this is what the Lord says to do. That must be our why. That must be our reason. If I don't say it, they're going to get mad at me. Well, if you do it because they're going to get mad at you, then you're doing it because you was manipulated, not because the Lord told you to do it, right? Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Everything else is from the evil one. Don't be making vows. I swear, I promise you, and all this kind of stuff. Just be a simple yes or a simple no. Verse 38, you have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury, right? Jesus is talking about under the Old Testament. He's talking about under the law, right? We know that Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, but Jesus came to fulfill the law, right? So he says that love is the fulfillment of the law. In other words, that when we walk in the love of God, we're not going to lie, cheat, steal, kill, commit adultery, right? Because love overcomes evil. So the way we fulfill the law is just walking in love. It's not about me. Oh, I'm not going to try to cuss today. Oh, I'm not going to try to be mad today. Oh, I'm not going to do this today. That's not what that's about, because then you're putting yourself under the law. It's simply focusing on the love relationship which we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to just try to please one person, which is Jesus, than to try to please everybody, because you're not going to be able to. So love is the fulfillment. It says Jesus did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. For love is the fulfillment of the law. He simply was sinless. He walked in complete obedience to his Father. He walked in love. And because he walked in love, he was able to fulfill the law. And when we walk in love, those who walk in the spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we walk in obedience to the word of God, we will not, we won't break the law when we're walking in love, when we're walking in love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. He says, under the law. So when he's talking about the law, Jesus, he's teaching about revenge here. So he says, under the law, under the Old Testament, he's saying, but we know that Jesus came to abolish that, right? Some things came at the cross, some things stopped at the cross, right? In other words, we're no longer sacrificing sheep and goat, right? Jesus Christ became the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. So here he's saying, when you hear him saying under the law, he's talking about in the old covenant, right? So you heard the law that says the punishment must match the injuries, right? So in the Old Testament, before dispensation of grace, before Jesus Christ came to earth, because he was always in heaven, right, with the Father, he says, but in the Old Testament, this is what they used to teach in the Old Testament, by the way. It's probably over 600 some different laws. It's not just the Ten Commandments. So you see, he said, if you break one part of the law, you broke the whole entire law. So it's not about keeping the law, it's about walking in love, because love is the fulfillment of the law. He says in the Old Testament, in other words, verse 38, he said, you've heard the law that says the punishment must meet the injury, right? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? He said, but I say, do not resist an evil person. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying that's what they used to do under the law. But I'm telling you, I'm here now. I'm here. And I'm saying to you, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, off of the other cheek also. If you are sued. Hi, guys. This is Arthur Pearlie Martin. Remember to pick up all my books online at Arthur Pearlie Martin. And at Amazon, Barnes & Noble's under Pearlie Martin Books. You guys, remember to like this. To subscribe to this podcast, help support this podcast, hit that subscribe button. And you guys make sure that you share the link. But more than anything, you guys stroll through here. I have over 200 some episodes. Stroll through here and see if God has a word for you. Again, this is Arthur Pearlie Martin with Biblical Principles for Inner Healing. You guys be blessed. And like I always say, keep looking for what's good in your day so you can see God's goodness all throughout your day.